I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Food sensitivity and intolerance and recognizing it is the center of a new book from J.J. Virgin. The Virgin Diet, Drop 7 Foods, Lose 7 Pounds, Just 7 Days. It's already a bestseller, and it talks about how so-called healthy foods, some we consider diet foods, may actually be the wrong things to eat if you're looking to shed a few pounds. For example, a diet of egg white omelets, Greek non-fat yogurt, soy-based veggie burgers on whole wheat bun sounds ideal. According to Ms. Virgin, they're foods that sabotage one's health and may actually increase weight gain. J.J. Virgin joins me from Toronto today, and I'll get her to tell us about this diet and her new book, whether one subscribes totally to the Virgin diet or not. There is some interesting and useful information to be had, like the fact that eliminating so-called reactive foods, or as she calls them, hi-fi foods, will be key to understanding how our bodies work. Gluten, dairy, soy, corn, peanuts, eggs, and sugar. J.J. Virgin is a nutrition and fitness expert, a veteran of the health and fitness industry. She regularly coaches athletes, celebrities, and CEOs as well. She is frequently in the media. For 2 years, she was a nutrition expert on Dr. Phil and was co-host of the TLC program Freaky Eaters. Her website is at thevirgindiet.com. The book is published by Harlequin. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, J.J. Virgin. Ms. Virgin, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So we're hearing a lot about food intolerance. The one thing that we're hearing a lot of is gluten intolerance. You can't go to a bakery or restaurant nowadays without seeing, say, gluten-free items. What accounts for that? Has our food changed a great deal, or are they just diagnosing that a lot more nowadays?
Well, it's interesting, because celiac disease, it's misdiagnosed or underdiagnosed 90% of the time.
They
say it's like 1 in 133 people, but then it's not diagnosed. So I'm like, well, then how many people is it? You know, and that's just one part of gluten intolerance. So I think there's a couple things going on. I think there's a much greater awareness, and we've also totally massacred our food in that the way we've really glutenized our food, where we've changed the way that we grow wheat. We've dwarfed it so that it has a higher gluten content, and then we put gluten in some of the silliest things, like, you know, turkey breast and pickles and mustard. So you have an overexposure to it, and now we're starting to have a heightened awareness. And I think for the first time, and I'm so excited about this, people are starting to connect the dots between how they feel and what they're eating. Because the challenge with these seven foods that I'm talking about, and gluten, you know, is one of them, is that it's not like you eat the thing and you get hives. That's an allergy. What we're talking about with an intolerance is either a genetic issue or an immune issue or a hormonal issue where you eat it and maybe you're tired in a couple hours, the next day your joints hurt, a day later you break out or you have rosacea. So they're delayed responses and you don't tie it together. And you start to think that, oh, you know what, I'm just getting older and this is just normal for me.
Now, not all bodies are created equal. So I'm wondering, these seven foods, we're not all reacting to them the same way, right?
Exactly. And so here's the deal. I've discovered this by accident.
Yeah.
I've always been interested in weight loss resistance. I thought early on, I realized the whole bank account, calories in, calories model, out model of weight loss was just silly, clearly not working, that there was more to it, and that while calories count, where they come from counts more. But I was doing food sensitivity testing in some doctor's offices, and I really to help with all the symptoms I just listed. But what we kept seeing was the same foods kept showing up, and when we pulled them out, those symptoms went away, but they also lost weight quickly. And so I started looking at what are the top offenders, and what's the key ways you can be food intolerant. And the challenge is there's no single test for it. I don't even believe we know all the different ways you can react yet. There's no single test. If you wanted to test all the different ways we could test right now, it'd be expensive.
Yeah.
And really the best test to figure out which of those seven are really your kryptonite and which are okay for you, you know, which are helping and which are hurting, just to pull them all out for 3 weeks and then to go and customize, like you said, to figure out which of these are helping you and which are hurting you. But, you know, what you'll hear from people is they'll go, okay, they'll hear the seven foods and they'll go, all right, I'm going to pull six out, because whatever one really is their problem food, we tend to become addicted or crave the very foods that are hurting us because of this immune response.
Yeah.
And so what I tell people is, you know, it's like sitting on seven tacks, and you stand up and you take six tacks away and you sit back down. it's still going to hurt. You got to pull all out. And then at the end of 3 weeks, what we do is we take the four top offenders, because of the seven foods, there's a couple that really, I'm going to give you easy lateral shifts, easy swaps, and my goal is that those become your new habit and you don't want to go back to the other ones because they really were faux health food. But at the end of 3 weeks, we start re-challenging the top high fire, high food intolerance foods, and we see, again, can this be worked into your diet, or is this something that's really hurting you? And if it is hurting you, it may be that as you go through a gut healing program in 3 months, you can handle it, or 6 months, or it may be that this just really is something that needs to be out of your life forever.
Now, intolerances like gluten and lactose, if you're celiac.
That's genetic.
So you can't change that, right?
Celiac, and lactose intolerance. Then there's immune delayed food sensitivities. They're called IgG. You know, with immune, we have either those immediate reactions like you ate shrimp or peanuts and your throat closes up or you get hives, or we have the delayed ones. And the allergies are very rare, and the delayed ones are really common. In my testing, I found about 70% of the people had something there where they had a delayed response. And then there's, of course, hormonal ones. You know, you're eating corn, or you're eating sugar, you're eating artificial sweeteners and driving up your insulin and becoming insulin resistant, which makes you store more fat and get inflamed. I mean, the end result of all of these things is chronic inflammation. And that's why you see such fast results the first week, not only in weight loss, the average person loses 7 pounds the first week, but in how you feel, because, you know, when you drop the inflammation, which is at the root of all disease, you feel remarkably better fast.
Yeah. Now, so the one thing that you suggested that one ought to do when they're eliminating these seven foods is that they need to keep a journal, keep a record of what they're eating.
Yeah. Right? You know, whatever you're doing in a health program, whether it's, you know, in anything, what we measure, we can improve. But it's really clear in health that people who journal have better success. In fact, one study showed that the people who journaled lost twice as much weight as people who didn't. But in this situation, we're really making sure that you are getting those foods out. If you do all of a sudden feel rotten one day, we want to look back and go, what the heck happened yesterday? What snuck in? So it's, again, it's to give you that powerful feedback, because if you have to write it down, it really changes everything, but also to help you if you do need to get that history and look back, because we know people tend to under-report if they're not writing down.
Exercise is still vital, though?
Okay, so here's how this works. There's three cycles. And cycle one is I just have you focus on those foods, and really it's swapping out so you're creating new habits. And again, what I find with people is so often they tend to like the new foods better than the old foods. You know, if they were doing soy milk, switch to coconut milk. Pasta, switch to quinoa pasta, that kind of thing. In cycle two, that's where we challenge back 1 week at a time the top four high-fat foods and create a personalized long-term program for you. We know that weight loss is really the fast way to lose weight, but exercise, you know, it's funny because strategies for long-term weight management are actually different than what you do to lose weight fast. Long-term exercise is really the big needle mover for changing your metabolism, changing the way your body handles fat, and keeping the weight off. So in cycle three, I go through exercise, but I've always been the fast results person, and I actually do exercise very differently than what I see out there, in that I focus on high-intensity, fast exercise, short bursts and resistance training, not long endurance training. What I've seen over the years is long endurance training making people age faster, lowering their testosterone, burning up muscle, and actually making them better at storing fat. So I'm kind of anti-endurance training.
So an example of a burst of exercise would be like running up the stairs for a few minutes, right?
Exactly. In fact, you know, I've been traveling for 16 days, and every other day I've been in hotels with lots of stairs. Whenever that happens, I'm in the stairwell running the stairs. And so you go all out. You know, I'll go up the stairs for 30 to 60 seconds, come back down for twice as long, and repeat. And just keep doing that until you've accumulated 4 to 8 total minutes of the hard stuff. And the good news there is you can do this anywhere. You could walk and sprint. You can do the stairs. You can do jump roping, Turkish get-ups, burpees, swimming, cycling. You can do it anywhere and at any fitness level, because it's the hardest you can do at whatever level you're at. But it doesn't take so long. I mean, you can do a full burst training exercise in like 15 minutes. And the number one reason people don't exercise is they don't have enough time. So.
Yeah.
We get rid of that fast.
Yeah, you don't have that excuse anymore.
We hate that excuse.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I found interesting in reading the book is that soy, I mean, soy is considered, you know, a healthy food as an alternative for protein. But you call it a sham food. So I'm wondering now, can the vegan or the vegetarian get on the virgin diet?
Yeah, I actually created a special guidebook just for vegans and vegetarians because the virgin diet is agnostic. You can be a paleo, you can be a vegan, you can be somewhere in between, you know, I guess South Beach. It's like wherever you are, this diet lays over it. But for vegans and vegetarians, they are even more likely to have food intolerance because they're relying on the same proteins that tend to be more reactive, like soy and gluten for vegans and eggs and dairy for vegetarians. So we created a guidebook that you can get. If you go to thevirgindiet.com/resources, we put it in there. You can grab it for free to go, and it goes with the book. But for so many people, you know, soy is one of the most, you know, it's been really promoted. And let's face it, if it was non-genetically modified, which I was just talking to a chicken farmer, the only chicken farmer in the United States where I'm from that actually feeds the chickens non-genetically modified corn and soy. He said it's so hard to get soy in the United States because they export it all to Japan because they bid higher money for it.
Uh-huh.
So it's really hard to get non-GMO soy. So you've got the GMO issue. Chronic soy, I mean, one of my best case studies for the book was a gal who was a vegetarian living on soy, and she could not lose weight. She was 100 pounds overweight. I just showed her on the Rachel Ray Show. She lost 100 pounds. All we did was remove the soy, put in wild salmon, grass-fed beef, vegan protein powder, and boom, you know, because it had lowered her thyroid function. So you've got, even with non-GMO soy, it lowers thyroid function. For men, it lowers testosterone. We've seen with men, there was a study done in Hawaii of Japanese men with smaller brains and higher risk for dementia because of chronic soy intake. So some of the things we're seeing is smaller brains, higher risk for dementia. In Japan, they have higher instances of thyroid, stomach, and pancreatic cancers. It's rich in phytates that can block mineral absorption, so it has to be heavily fermented, so things like edamame are not a good snack. So it's one of those ones that's new to our food supply, a couple thousand years old, versus things like, you know, nuts and seeds and berries that are hundreds of thousands of years old. So it's one of those things that we're going to pull it out. Also, let's face it, and I lived in Japan, I never saw soy ice cream, soy milk, mm-hmm. soy burgers, soy hot dogs, or soy cheese the whole time I was living there. It was very traditional, and it wasn't, you know, this massive amount of the diet. It was a little bit of the diet. Here, for a lot of people, they become so reliant on it, now they're eating it each meal. So, again, what we're doing is pulling it out for 3 weeks and then re-challenging to see how you handle it and making sure that when we do that, that you are choosing well-fermented, organic sources of it, like miso soup, rather than, say, a, you know, sweetened soy milk.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're hearing a lot about this deadly flu that's sweeping across the continent. Regardless of that, vitamin D, that's key.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up. What's amazing to me is the number one thing you can do for your immune system, well, the things that we never talk about is the fact that you should be sleeping well. You know, it's like, I know I only get sick if I let myself get stressed and don't sleep. Then I'm gone. But, you know, if you're going to look at one proactive strategy for your immune system, the number one immune modulator is vitamin D. And everybody, you know, you look at, when do people classically get sick? Is it during the summer when there's lots of sunshine so we can make our vitamin D? No. It's during the winter when our vitamin D levels are lower. You know, really what we need to be doing is we need to be doing a vitamin D test, you know, during the winter and during the summer so that we know what you need to supplement with during each time and shifting it. And that's what I actually have my clients do. It's clients who live, like I live in Palm Springs, so we're sunny all year round. But I travel a lot too. And, you know, even people who live in warm, sunny places, they tend to avoid the sun and wear more sunscreen, which blocks the vitamin D production. So I find, I'm trying to think of the last person I tested who wasn't supplementing who actually had optimal vitamin D, because I never see it, honestly.
Yeah. Something that I picked out of the book that I thought was interesting, and it says that when we're on the toilet, that we have to elevate our feet.
Yes. You know, we do not go to the bathroom the right way here in the Western world. You know, we're I'm a big poop person, all right? So we discussed this at length, and one of the things that I teach people to do is really up their fiber. The average person gets 5 to 14 grams of fiber a day. I want them, and not overnight, by the way, that would make people angry because it wouldn't move out right away, mm-hmm. but over the course of a week or two, bring your fiber intake up to about 50 grams a day. And that's easy to do, you know, like I use a fiber shake. My shake I use every morning has got 5 grams of fiber. Then I throw in 2 tablespoons of chia seeds, and I throw in berries. So, I mean, right there I'm getting 20 grams of fiber at least in the morning. And then if you're eating beans and you're eating nuts and you're eating loads of non-starchy vegetables and seeds, you're getting it in there. So you're eating lots of fiber, you're exercising, you're drinking water in between your meals because you got to have water with the fiber to get it moving through. And if you find that you're having trouble, if you're at all constipated, the first thing I have people do then, besides making sure that you take time to go to the bathroom, which so many people don't, and then they're in the least positive position mm-hmm. the way our toilets are set up. So, yeah, there's specially made stools that you can put around it to elevate your feet to help you. But magnesium and vitamin C are amazing, and that's another one that is I've never seen not work for someone who's constipated. And again, if someone is chronically, you need to get your thyroid checked because that's like sign one of a thyroid, low thyroid function.
In terms of gastrointestinal problems, inflammation, I mean, we've touched on that already, leaky gut. What are some of the healing foods that one can take to overcome those problems?
Apples, you know, apple a day. Apples are amazing for healing the gut. The fibers, the pectins are gut healing. Same with freshly ground flaxseed meal because it's nice and mucilaginous, so that's fantastic. Fish protein. So not just the omega-3s from fish, which are going to be anti-inflammatory, but also fish protein itself is very gut healing. And then all of the deep green leafies, especially kale and spinach. And, I also love broccoli, the umbelliferouses. The antioxidants in those, you know, when you're inflamed, you create a lot of free radicals. So antioxidants help reduce the inflammation in something called highly sensitive C-reactive protein. So that's another one that I absolutely love. And really focusing on eating the right types of anti-inflammatory fats. I want you to think of like we're putting out that anti-inflammatory fire. But then, of course, healing that gut lining. And it's both pulling things out that damage the gut lining, like gluten and pain meds. Of course, talk to your doctor if you're on meds, you know, before you pull them out. But
right.
Pain meds and gluten and fructose and things like fruit juice, dried fruit, agave, high fructose corn syrup, actually pokes holes in the small intestines. Gluten loosens the tight junctions and stress. So you also, not only do we have to look at what foods can heal, but we also have to go, all right, you know, what can we do to stop the damage? And then, of course, any kind of fermented foods that are going to provide what we call prebiotics that help establish good gut flora in the gut. And that, you know, you talked about vitamin D is critical for good immune function as well.
And in terms of dining out, a lot of us like to dine out. So what's a tip in terms of, say, focusing our minds to improving ourselves while we're out and about?
Okay, so first of all, choose your dining partners. You know, it's so funny. They did a study, and I remember way back when Jim Rohn, who's this amazing motivational guy, not here anymore, but he said, your income is the average of the 5 people you hang out with the most. And then a study showed that your weight was the average of the people you hung out with the most, and that people, and it makes sense. So if you go out with people who are going to sit around and eat pizza and beer, you're going to get in trouble. So first pick your dining partners. And interestingly enough, you tend to also pace yourself with the pace of the people eating. So pick slow eaters to eat with. Pick healthy slow eaters to eat with. Go to the restaurant, and I will even do this online ahead of time, but I always survey the menu as a guide, not as an absolute.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking at, like, what sides do I like? Do they have Brussels sprouts because I'm a big fan, or broccoli? Like, what are the different sides? What is the different stuff? They'll always take the fish and make it clean instead of some, like, I was just looking at the hotel I'm at, and it's maple glazed. I'm like, don't do that to the salmon, you know? Just keep it clean. And so I look at the menu as what I want. I don't invite the enemy to the table. The first thing they come over with, of course, is, you know, the bread basket.
Right.
So it's banished from the table. And honestly, if you're really clear with them and explain that, hey, I have, and this is where I might say, hey, I have an allergy to this, so I have to be very careful, then they're way better about it, and they'll help you.
Now, this book has done well. In the book, there are the anecdotes from people who have had success with it, with the diet. Are you hopeful that we'll do better as a society, I guess, in terms of recognizing food intolerance?
You know, my biggest goal, well, my goal really is, you know, I've worked in the area of weight loss resistance for years, and I got so frustrated early on. I saw people trying so hard and not getting results. And, you know, the general society is going, oh, well, they're just lazy and overeat. And yeah. I saw just the total opposite story, and I knew there was more to it. And I really want with this book for people to get their hope back, but also to connect the dots and go, okay, wow, this is more than calories. Food is information. And I can actually change the whole direction of my health, not just my weight, but my energy level, how fast I'm aging. I mean, people do this and you know, their friends want to know if they went and had some work done or went to the spa. You know, your joints stop hurting. And what that really does is so much bigger than weight loss, because it allows you. I mean, I had one gal who had such bad joint pain in her fingers that she was having to give up her career as a hat maker. When she went on the program, the joint pain went away. You know, the doctor said, you got to give it up. You know, mm-hmm. She shouldn't be doing that. Joint pain's gone. She's back to living her life and having her career. And that's really the big goal with this is, you know, as you start to feel better and feel better about yourself and feel better with your energy and your health, it allows you to just step into a much bigger place, be totally present, have more confidence, and, you know, live the life we're meant to be here doing, right?
Indeed. This is interesting stuff, JJ. You've given us a lot to think about. Continue good luck with the book.
Appreciate it.
TheVirginDiet.com is the website for more. The book is called The Virgin Diet. Drop 7 foods, lose 7 pounds, just 7 days. It's published by Harlequin. Its author, JJ Virgin, joined me on the line from Toronto in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.